Good morning. Welcome to our worship celebration. Please note in the call to worship on the last line that the word is your and not you. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? People of God, put your hope in the Lord. Worship the Lord with cheerful songs. Light the fire of your grace in our hearts. Let us praise God for the wonderful gift of Christ's birth. Put your hope in the Lord. Let us join now in our song of worship number 100. O come, Emmanuel. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come into your presence with hope and peace. We come with the hope of redemption through your Son, Jesus Christ. We come with the peace that passes all understanding that you offer as the peacemaker. We come seeking a deeper relationship with you and with each other. Open our ears to hear your word more clearly, and open our hearts to respond more lovingly. Bless this time of worship that we may grow closer to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So the reading is actually from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements shall be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live in holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
And now in the faith we sing, number 2090, verse 2. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We're glad that you're here. We have some things in the life of the church coming up. Those of you who are in the men's singing group, brothers all, we will be having a rehearsal tonight at 6:30. We look forward to perhaps singing this Saturday and also next Sunday morning. This Saturday is our carols sing and soup dinner. It will be at 4 o'clock here at First Baptist Church, and we invite you all to come. We've had a wonderful time the last couple of years with this, and we are hoping that it will be so again. Last year, we had the opportunity to give the leftover soup to the Place of Warmth, which is a ministry next door at Zion United Church of Christ. We will be doing that again. I noticed on the sign-up sheet, there is still room for people to sign up to bring soup. So if you'd like to do that, remember that the leftovers will be made available to that ministry. And we're hopeful that it will be necessary. It seems like they've been open the last couple of days. But I don't know if they're going to be open next week, and we'll just take it day by day, because they are open when it's 20 degrees and below. Which reminds me, take a look at the sign-ups when you have the chance during the fellowship time after the service. Our mission's emphasis for this month is the Retired Missionaries and Ministers Offering. This goes to support a gift that's given to all the retired ministers in American Baptist life each Christmas. And so we hope that you'll be prayerful and thoughtful, because that is very meaningful to them. And it's a nice way of saying thank you for all the years of service that they have given. I understand that the ladies had a really nice time yesterday, and that it was very successful at their luncheon. They have told me that the fellowship time today is going to be kind of some of the things that were left over, and they need a great deal of help, because there's plenty. Randy has an announcement to come and make for us this morning.
Next Sunday afternoon, the Delaware Community Chorus will be presenting a concert, Carols from Around the World. And I have tickets if you are interested. They are $10 a piece. There are performances at 3 and 5 at St. Peter's Episcopal Church. So, that's at Asbury. Yes, it is at Asbury, because we're practicing at Asbury tomorrow. I'm sorry. You're right. It has been at St. Peter's, but it'll be at Asbury this year. So, 3 and 5, and you'll get to hear all kinds of different carols. Truly is around the world. There'll be carols. One we're singing in Swedish, and I'm still not sure I really... I'm confident about my Swedish, but if you come, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thank you.
Our song of praise is "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," which is number 104. Shall we stand and sing together?
Thank you.
ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless these gifts and offerings that they may be worthy and productive in this church and in our community and beyond. We are reminded that all that we have is yours and should be dedicated to you and to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
David Harris will come and lead a children's message.
Good morning. All right, so if I put my fingers like this, what do you think, what does this mean? Two? All right, so there's, yes, it means two, but there's something else you ought to know. All right, so this, so way back long ago, which is like actually 50 years ago. So this is the universal sign for peace. And so when people did this in the 60s, it was a sign of peace in opposition to what was then the Vietnam War. And so people would do this as a sign of peace to show solidarity. And so with the theme of peace for this Sunday, all the times in church, and you'll hear it throughout worship today, and you have heard it throughout worship today, is we talk about the peace of God and peace on earth. And as we get closer to Christmas and we remember the angels saying peace on earth, goodwill towards all, I just want you to think about every time you put up your fingers like this, so every time you count one and two, you can think peace that I bring and the peace that God brings to us. And maybe you'll hear it if you come to the soup and sing, but one of the songs that is sung throughout Advent season goes, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." And so, I just let us pray that we are able to bring peace towards all in this Advent season. Does that sound good? Alright, let us pray. Oh Lord, in this time of Advent season, and on this day in which we celebrate the peace that you bring to us, we pray that you allow us to share peace on earth to all those who we come in contact with. Let your peace reign on earth and let it begin with each of us. In Christ's name, amen.
Are there joys and concerns that you would like to share with the congregation this morning?
I have a young lady that I work with at the hospital. She has been diagnosed with cancer and is now going through treatment. And if you could remember her in your prayers, her name is Sony.
A short time back at the business meeting, I asked a question, why couldn't we do something with these ugly old doors over here? And I've been out of town for a couple of weeks, so I came back and found that some angel had fixed the doors. They are beautiful. They speak so highly of our church, and I'm just very thankful to whomever took care of that. I think I know, but whomever did it. Thank you.
On behalf of all of those of us who are retired and received the RMMO offering, ours came in the mail. Thank you.
Yeah, Jerry and I have been going through some rough times right now, but this morning, you don't know what an uplifting experience that we had when our friends in this wonderful church came and rallied around us and gave us their love and support, and I just love you all. Thank you.
It was great to see the boys, all of the boys here, in the concert on Wednesday night. They did a great job, and Gabe was in a concert on Monday night, and it's always great to hear all the music and the music programs at Dulles State School. Thank you.
I just want to say what a joy it was yesterday to have 17 people, ladies, for our ladies' luncheon. And thank you so much, Candy, for thinking of this, and for Pat for helping. It was a wonderful day.
Pam sort of beat me to it, but I was going to say the same thing. We really had a wonderful time yesterday, and there was a lot of work that went into it, and I really am very grateful for that. But we really did. I'm also grateful for the wonderful time that we had. So I just thank the Lord for good fellowship. And we had also a number of visitors from Second Baptist, so that was also a special joy.
I would ask for prayers for my brother-in-law, Steve. Steve will be undergoing prostate surgery just after Christmas. So please wish him well. Thank you.
Let us bow for prayer. Dear God, we are thankful for this season where we are reminded of your coming into this world and into our lives. We are grateful that when you came as a child, and that when you came as a person who offered his life as a sacrifice for us. That sacrifice is our life. In it we know forgiveness. In it we know transformation. In it we have the hope of resurrection, and we are thankful. The concerns that we have mentioned this morning are on our hearts because we live still in this world where there is trouble. We pray that you would ease our anxiety, that you would reassure us of your love and grace, and that everything works out for the good because of your miraculous grace. We pray that that hope and the sense of peace that comes with it would be a part of our lives each day, no matter what happens. And we are thankful for the times when joyous things occur. Let them stand as reminders for us that you are always with us, that you are always healing, always working, always molding and shaping our lives. We are thankful for so many things. We just pray that you would continue to meet every need that we have, physical and spiritual. We pray that you would meet all our relational needs, that you would open our hearts and minds to those around us. All of this, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our song of meditation in the faith we sing is number 2095, which is Star Child. Shall we stand together and sing?
So often during Advent, our scripture comes from the book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towers of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. May God add a blessing to this word.
Will be opened, eyes will be opened, eyes will be opened. waiting for a king, ruling in might, waiting for a king to shine in our night. Will the world be ready when he comes to stay? Waiting for a king. Will this be the
It was the summer of 1981, which seems to me like it just happened. But it was a long time ago. I thought it would never be over. I had just graduated from high school and taken a job working in the kitchen of a nursing home washing pots and pans. With the industrial dishwasher putting out steam and those three large tubs filled with hot water for the pots and utensils that couldn't go into the machine, it was quite hot in there. As a matter of fact, when I first took the job, they questioned whether I could take the heat. Which I suppose is always a good question to ask when someone takes a job. Can you handle the demands of this job? But they meant it literally. It was 120 or 130 degrees in there. And at that time in my life, I could handle it. I'm quite sure I couldn't now. But then it didn't bother me. But that didn't mean I liked it. As a matter of fact, I counted the days. And when finally the time came to leave that job and go off to college, I rejoiced and was glad. You may have an experience in your life that is something like that. Something that you knew was temporary, that you knew you had to endure patiently, but couldn't wait till it was over. And when the day came, you were happy. And it seemed like it would never get there. I think when our minds are drawn to the story of Israel, to any part of the story of Israel, the exile is the part that the book of Isaiah brings up. The people were in Babylon. The civilization had been destroyed and they were waiting for the return to their homeland. Or we could go back to the Exodus and the wilderness journey that took place after they were delivered from bondage in Egypt. Because they had hesitated, their wilderness journey lasted for 40 years. They did not count the days, they counted the decades. Even Moses was left out because in his frustration he had acted arrogantly. We think of waiting in circumstances like that. My little summer of waiting seems small by comparison. But the wilderness has become a kind of metaphor for any life experience characterized by the need to endure patiently. Any hardship that could be brought about by a crisis in the world or some other circumstance brought out by issues related to health or relational conflict or financial difficulties or occupational setbacks, any number of things. And more often than not, when we find ourselves in these kind of situations, these wildernesses, we despair and long to change the circumstances, and count the days, especially if we can see an end. We would rather live in the peaceful places, the quiet meadows, the still waters of life, maybe even on the mountaintops of life, rather than in its deserts. We count the days. We long for things to change. We wait. Of course, we are thinking of the wilderness in spiritual terms and not geographic terms, and we can find a way, I think, as human beings, to move from the hot, dry places to the wonderful high places to the peaceful middle ground without changing our geographic location necessarily. We can experience all of these things while we live in the same house, go to the same job, interact with the same people day after day. But I think it is safe to say that we long for a life that we wish would never end, instead of a life in which we count the days or the decades. Part of the message of the Bible is that the wilderness is punishment for sin. Maybe it's not the only thing the Bible says about the wilderness. The wilderness is also a time of preparation. It's a journey we must go through in order to get ready. And another thing we might say about the wilderness is that it is temporary. Part of the great Advent message, the message of Christmas, is that the time has come to leave it behind. And that is what I hope you will hear this morning, and what I hope that you will hear from the message of this text in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received double from the Lord for all her sins. Before we allow ourselves to rush ahead to the next part, which are the iconic lines that we find in the John the Baptist passages of the Gospels, we do well to stop and just listen to what has been said in those first few verses. For anybody who has ever felt like they're in the wilderness, those words are words of great relief, maybe even great joy. But sometimes the sigh of relief to hear those words, hard service is ended, the punishment is completed, the wilderness is at its end, the time for rejoicing has come. It's like that job when I was young that I thought would never be over. The day came that was my last day. And have you ever noticed how when you've been alive for 20 or 30,000 days or however long it is, that they run together and you can't remember specific things? I remember walking out the door. It's one of those things that still goes with me. The time had come to leave behind the hot kitchen for the exciting new adventure. What good news. That's the good news of our text today. The message is, in the desert, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight the wilderness, a highway for our God. The valleys will be lifted up. The mountains will be brought low, all the rough places smoothed over, the obstacles removed, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed and everyone will see it. The Lord has spoken.
I wonder if there's a way for us to hear that deep in our spirits and not just with our ears, that message given to the people of Israel, given to us. The 40th chapter of Isaiah goes on in its way to compare human smallness and weakness and mortality with divine magnitude and majesty. We don't always understand. Sometimes when we look around, it still looks like a wilderness. Maybe the circumstances which have been a wilderness to us haven't changed that we can see. It isn't the circumstances that make it a wilderness. It's the absence of God. And the message is God is coming into it. And when God is with us, the wilderness fades. It is at Christmas, of course, that we celebrate at last the coming of God as a human being in the birth of the child Jesus. And Advent is our time of excited preparation, of getting ready because the birth is near. The glory of the Lord. Imagine the glory of the Lord in a child. We have considered these images, the wilderness journey after the Exodus, the Babylonian exile, and the return to the homeland, the long hot summer of my youth, which, as I said, seems small by comparison, but I mention it anyway because most of our wilderness journeys while we are in this life are small by comparison. But nonetheless, the wilderness is a good example. It's an illustration both of life itself as a wilderness journey. There's a sense in which what we're waiting for is heaven. But also, it is a good illustration for us of those smaller experiences that are temporary in life, but nonetheless experiences that we feel like we have to endure. They can be spiritually challenging for us. The mystery of the Christian faith is that while we have Advent and Christmas to celebrate a time of joyful expectancy, and later while we have Lent and Passion to observe a time of repentance and sorrow and sacrifice, and then after that when we have Easter and Pentecost and the time after Pentecost where we focus upon new life and transformation and spirit-filled living, we admit that these things are not as seasonal as our celebrations of them are. Turns out, every day is a day of tragic sorrow, and every day is a day of expectant joy. Every day is a day of repentance and forgiveness, a day of giving and receiving, a day of birth and death. We observe them over time, I think, because of our weakness. We get distracted and we forget to have joy and to have sorrow and repent. We forget that we are filled up with the Holy Spirit. We forget that we have been given new life. But we recognize that we live out these things every day, and not just according to the liturgical calendar. It may be that you feel like you're in a wilderness right now. Or it may be that you've made a life for yourself in whatever wilderness your life has given you, and you are at peace with it. Whatever the case, listen to the gospel message. Be comforted, because the time in the wilderness is over, and the journey home is now. And we encounter God's glory on the way. The long hot summer has ended, and a time for glorious rejoicing has come. The obstacles are removed, and there is no stopping God's grace now. Our load can be lightened, and we can take courage. And I would like to end the way the 40th chapter of Isaiah ends, by telling us to put our hope in the Lord. For those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, in the living out of our lives, we pray that we would hear this wonderful, wonderful part of the gospel message. That even if we are confronted by our own mistakes and our own sinfulness and our selfishness and greed, our punishment has been paid. That even if we are unable to make our way to you, the obstacles are too severe. All the high places have been made low. And the low places have been lifted up, and you are making your way to us. We pray that we would all see it. In Christ's name. Amen. Our song of dedication is number 2097 in the Faith We Sing, One Holy Night in Bethlehem. Shall we stand together? Dear God, we are thankful for all that we have experienced to hear today. We're thankful for these people that you have called us to share these moments with, and we pray that you would send us out strengthened and encouraged by this wonderful gospel message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.